T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well played to everyone involved.
Just make a t-shirt out of that.
It's always fun. It's always fun.
Time for the middle of your day already. Matt Spiegel is here
to do
the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I am the creamy middle and the cookie that is you guys and McNeil and Parkins.
That wasn't supposed to be sexual, right?
As you know.
All right, I'm fine.
But nor was it supposed to be a preview of Scorehouse next week, although I fear that it might be. I found out something horrifying yesterday, which is I believe I might be sharing a room with Danny Parkins. You guys hear about this?
He's probably easy.
Yeah, but I mean,
he doesn't look like he snores.
But aren't we beyond that?
Yes,
as a people,
we're adults.
Yeah, I mean,
we get our own rooms.
I think so. I mean, is it a bunk bed situation? Is it one giant king bed where we have to put like a body pillow in between and pretend we have privacy?
I think your body pillow is Shane.
Is there forced snuggling going
I'm
on?
Yeah, the big spoon.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I get to be the big spoon.
Well, I have some admiration for a man who's willing to go big spoon or small spoon. You know, a versatile spoonage guy.
I'm a tosser and a turner, so I need to be the big spoon.
Makes some sense.
Definitely a tosser.
Practical. I like a practical spoon.
I like being the small spoon, but it doesn't really fit my body type necessarily.
So I have
we're perfect together.
Yeah, I think we might work.
You got to hear this. I've shared this off the air. I've yet to share this on the air.
Okay, today's the day.
This was my dream last night.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Oh, boy.
This was, and I promise you I'm not making this up.
Okay.
This was like my final REM cycle of last night.
Dreams are messages, bro.
Okay, it's Scorehouse. We are arriving at Sky Harbor. We're arriving at the Phoenix Airport for Scorehouse.
Yeah.
And a nebulous person who works for digital, on the digital side, comes up to us as we're getting off the plane and says, listen, the client, the sponsor, is really into video content. And it's really important to them that we do good video content. It's almost more important than what we do on the radio. I'm like, fine. Tell us what we're doing. And I said, okay. Well, first of all, we have these costumes, and it's like a Miami Vice kind of thing for whatever reason. You're all going to portray cops, and here at the airport,
I want to be Don Johnson. I always have.
Here at the airport, there's a drug deal that's going down. You guys are going to intercept the drug deal, and it's going to be a theme. It's going to be a bit that we're going to do for Scorehouse.
And the heat is on. The H is on.
So, of course, I say, okay, fine, whatever the client wants. And they say, yeah, we're going to be really surreptitious, so you're not going to see cameras. It's Verite style, so just go.
Tremendous vocabulary in Bernstein's dreams, by the way.
Like whatever, are you surprised?
So
he gets crossword clues in his
just
dream.
Just listen. We go through this door, and there is this obvious, like, there's a truck, and the back is open, and guys are loading things into it, and we're like, okay, this is the drug that we go over, and we're like, it shoves the guy out of the way, throws the stuff in the truck, we get in the truck, and we drive off down this access road, okay? Black motorcycles come out of nowhere from behind guys with submachine guns, and they start firing into the back of the truck. And Connor looks at me and goes, huh. And I said, what? This is a dream. And Connor says,
obviously.
He said, there's no way that they paid for effects this good. He said, there's no way. There's no possible way that our company paid for effects this good for digital content for Scorehouse.
So that's too much blood.
Right? That's awesome.
So I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, this is real. So it became like a Tropic Thunder thing at the moment where what was supposed to be stage, we ended up like intercepting an actual drug deal.
Which is a brilliant way to actually get us involved in a real drug deal.
Right.
Is to tell us it's a bit for Scorehouse.
Because then we're easier ways to get us involved in drug deals.
I woke up laughing. I was laughing because the giveaway in the dream was there's no way they'd spend for this.
The production value is.
Right. Come on. These are real bullets.
Were you sleeping stoned again?
No, I wasn't. This is normal for me.
That's normal? Okay.
That's normal.
Well,
yeah.
I'm excited for Scorehouse.
Very excited.
Danny Parkin's grabbing a mic, and you're a bounty tonight, right?
Oh, you better believe it.
I can't be there as a bounty tonight. I'm very bummed. So represent the poker youth of the Score well, please.
Do you count as youth?
Oh, boy.
Ouch.
That's tough. That's tough.
Ooh. I'm just asking. Yeah. That was a serious question.
Yeah, no. He hasn't even punched the clock yet.
You know, we were talking about Hitler Youth just before the segment began.
As is our want.
Well, it's a natural.
As you do.
You know, from popes to that.
Right.
That's how it works.
But yeah, I'll be there as a bounty. And the poker starts at 6, and my radio show, I think, ends at 6. So I'm going to get chipped off and be the low stack at the table by the time I sit down. So whoever's at my table is going to have a tremendous advantage.
Well, I'm not sure what much of that means, which is probably why I wasn't asked to be a bounty.
You know how to play like a bounty, too.
Don't worry.
You know, caution to the wind, and he plays riskily, and he gets himself knocked out, and then he heads over to the room with the McCallum.
What's the bounty prize?
I'll see you there.
Bounty
excellent.
Prize, I think it's a gift card. I believe this year we changed it because of all the free McCallum. I think there's some McCallum involved.
God.
There will be a bounty prize. The bounties are wearing a lanyard marked bounty, and then the knocker outer is escorted to the bank to collect a prize. And I think we're trying to flesh out all these prizes as we see what we get donated and what we've got. You're going to get a lot.
My when I would take part in these, I think I did it once for you, and certainly I did it a couple times when I was emceeing and being a bounty in the poker tournament for Mercy, home for boys and girls.
Mercy.
That my bounty was if you knock me out, you get 10 minutes of content on the radio. I will talk about whatever sport you want. And whatever,
please like my sport.
Yeah, whatever niche. So one time I had to do a segment on Purdue women's basketball. Another time I had to do like a lacrosse bit or something like that. I think we did curling. I did curling one time.
I'd rather cut a check.
Yeah,
my content.
I know, but the thing was, I wouldn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my radio partners that it was a thing, and I wouldn't even necessarily tell the listeners.
Or unethical.
You think so?
Yes.
It's certainly unethical. Yes. Can't possibly be illegal. Can't possibly. Could it?
No,
your famous last words.
I don't know.
This can't possibly be illegal.
Does that violate?
I'm sure you're coming with us.
Does that violate
the payola?
Plugola? If there is,
I'll see you guys.
All right, thanks.
Exchange of consideration.
Thanks for stopping by, Danny.
For airtime.
I doubt it. You know, if only I had more recently done one of gotten one of those certificates.
The HR things, right?
Diplomas.
Yeah, exactly.
I scrolled down through all of this.
But back to our Hitler Youth conversation.
Of course.
I believe, you know, making, you said Nazis is, what
making
was your phrase?
Making fun of Nazis is always fun. It'll never not be fun.
Yeah, I had this conversation on air, I think on a Saturday. Because I wondered, as I watched Jojo Rabbit, which I loved so much.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Wondered if Mel Brooks had seen it. Because,
right.
Because that's who I always think of.
Yep.
With Springtime for Hitler.
Classic.
From the producers.
Classic.
Like, he was the first guy to laugh at the Nazis. The first guy to really laugh at Hitler.
Right.
But I was corrected. Charlie Chaplin with The Great Dictator.
Absolutely.
Right in the middle of the war. I believe.
Oh, no, it's or just at the start, I think.
At the start of it?
Right, because the Marx Brothers were before. A lot of their stuff was making fun of totalitarian governments, but it couldn't have specifically been the Nazis. It was too early for, like, Duck Soup.
Right. The Great Dictator is 1940 from Chaplin.
Yeah, so right at the start. They had just gone into Poland.
Yeah. So you've got that. And then you've got, some of the Marx Brothers stuff. What was – someone told me about the Three Stooges with Moronica. There was a bit in there where Mo Howard was doing that, but I guess Mel Brooks, it was the time frame, like, just after. How far do you have to be removed from the killing of 6 million Jews to really laugh at it? Once the news is out, you know, when is it not too soon?
When was Cabaret written?
I don't know the answer to that.
Doesn't really laugh at it, but that's when you have.
You know, that's the one thing about cabaret I don't know. When you
I finally stumped you. That was sort of the looming threat to the end of the Weimar debauchery, yes, and all that as, yes, we were taking over.
And then I was told Mel Brooks saw Jojo Rabbit and was tweeting about it. He loved it. So that's beautiful, right?
He's so great.
When the world really comes together like that.
I know he's 90 or whatever he is. But
it's unbelievable.
I can't imagine a world without Mel Brooks.
I haven't watched the documentary yet. It's in my list of favorites. If you're not in the Obit, eat breakfast.
No.
It's Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, Norman Lear, and Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Uh-huh. I haven't seen it yet. Well, you know, you've seen the comedians in cars getting coffee with Carl Reiner.
The best.
It's absolutely the best. And he just casually drops that he's been having dinner with Mel Brooks every day of his life for the last 35 years.
So yeah. Sweet. And you just want to hug both of them.
They go get sandwiches. They, yes, go get and they watch movies.
And soup. And they set up TV trays.
But Seinfeld's face when Reiner just casually drops this. It's like, wait. What? Every night for the last 40 years, yeah, we've just been having dinner together.
And now their wives are dead. So it's like they yeah, hang around.
They
and
they won.
Yeah. We outlasted them.
They won.
We can go back to hanging out. My favorite part of that is one of the things, what kind of movies do you guys like to watch? Because they watch movies. And Carl Reiner says, we like to watch movies where someone says, secure the perimeter. they don't care what the subject is. As long as somebody's securing the
check
perimeter
that box for us.
Something. That's the movie they watch. Freaking
the best.
Beautiful.
Just the unbrandedness, too. And he's yes, unpacking the bag from the deli, and yep, it's like a big styrofoam thing of crepe soup. Uh-huh. I mean, it's exactly what you
right,
think it is.
No choice. Right? No choice but to do that. Yeah, so several textures getting in. Yeah. Three Stooges, had a few different shorts clowning the Nazis, You Nazi Spy, and Moronica. Moronica, guys, is Inglorious Bastards. Well, yeah, definitely. But, you know, by now, it's, you know, everybody can do
old
it.
Old hat. Now you can come up with the better Nazi jokes because the easy ones have already been taken.
Yeah.
You know, all that good stuff is used.
So this will be really interesting if, as you guys were talking about from Joel Sherman's piece, as inspired perhaps by Trevor Bauer and other guys suddenly being loud about this, if we have the death of bullfrog sunscreen mixed with tobacco, mm-hmm, and whatever juice there is, if you have the death of the sticky stuff on the ball, a lot of hitters don't mind it.
Many.
Because they think that it gives pitchers a better grip. This is what they've been sold, I think.
I think so.
Why pitchers on their own team say, hey, you'd rather I was doing this than not. You'd rather they were doing it than not, as a way to keep going and get the advantage of the sticky stuff.
It's like the Bull Durham scene, right? I wouldn't step in there if I were you. I don't know where the next one's going to go. I swear to God.
But here's what I can't stop thinking about, and I've been thinking about this overall in terms of the sign-stealing scandal, too. NFL, NBA are like defense. You can't play old school defense anymore. And in baseball, we are understandably striking down on rules that give advantage here. The sign stealing was giving advantage to the hitters, but we want more offense, right? We want it.
We do. But remember, in baseball right now, some offense has been deemed too boring.
That's the thing.
Home runs are now, apparently, according to Major League Baseball, boring.
This is the tricky, weird part of MLB trying to better the game and accelerate, is that you do want more contact, but you don't really want all or nothing contact. Mm-hmm. So you're trying, whereas other sports can find a way, you know what, if we just eliminate the hand check, or if we eliminate the bump and run, then we're going to get more offense. Boom. All right. Problem solved. Everything. Yeah. In baseball, it is so weird. How do you legislate to create the kind of game that you think you need to progress and grab fans more?
Especially when you've also convinced yourself that the actual length of the game matters too, and more scoring could mean longer games, and then you're working at cross purposes. The honest answer is they don't know what they want or why they want it.
Right, but that's a lot more easily figured out if you're enforcing the rules that are on the books while they're on the books. Let's not absolve Major League Baseball of this.
No.
6.02 has been there for a while. The idea that you can't use technology to steal signs has been in there for a while. and a reluctance to enforce it or a complete willingness to just look the other way in some circumstances, that's on the commissioner's office.
Is baseball a better game with the Astros being worse at offense? Are the last 3 years more fun?
I still think they're going to be great at offense.
You do?
Yeah. Yes, I still think they're going to be tremendous.
There's no way that their contact numbers or would have been great.
The sluggers who lowered their K rate, like Springer and Bregman, the sluggers who impossibly lowered their K rate like
that. Yes, there will be some drop off, but they're not bad at baseball.
No, they're not bad at baseball.
No, but, of course not.
But it's what it does to the rest of baseball as they're getting better the way they did. We were talking about it yesterday with Verduch, right? Mm-hmm. As he was talking about Clayton Kershaw. 51 sliders and curveballs in a playoff game against the Astros. Not a damn swing and miss.
That helps your contact rate. Clayton Kershaw, 51 breaking balls without a swing and miss in a playoff game.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's incredible.
So here's baseball's challenge. If you are indeed trying to legislate towards more balls in play, then you talk about the less lively baseball, which I do believe that we're going to see this year. And then you talk about
move the mound back.
The mound has been moved before. The mound, it's been moved up and down before. It's never been moved further back. But they're doing that in the Independent League, right?
The Atlantic League.
The Atlantic League. It's one of the things they were trying. So they're checking that kind of thing. The elimination of the shifts, I think, is going to be increasingly considered before.
That's so dumb.
But why is it dumb? What do you want? I don't think you can sit here and say the game needs more balls in play, and at the same time talk about how these shifts eliminate tons of balls in play.
More balls in play into outs.
Okay, but they also encourage hitters to try to hit the ball above and out, because why bother to do what you do?
It reminds me of illegal defense in the NBA, when eventually it just became stupid to say, I would go over and guard the guy I'm supposed to guard, but I can't because I have to stand within this box. And it just became silly. You say, look, let it go where you want to go. Let it evolve. Uh-huh. Give it time, and good teams will find ways to beat
but
this
aren't,
stuff.
But aren't so many of us sitting here pining for hit 'em where they ain't, the Wee Willie Keeler at Maxim? Aren't we pining for the kind of hitter that knows what the hell they're doing and drops that ball into some place, that's a good thing that is missing from the game?
I like moving the mound back as a potential option. I mean, I'd like to see, obviously, what the results are of the Atlantic League. And yeah, there's some unintended consequences there, but I think there are of every rule change, included or non-shift included, I guess. I would rather do that than legislate where my defenders have to stand, because the mound has been moved before. You know what I mean? It hasn't back or forward since it got set at 60 feet, 6 inches, but it was all over the place in the early days of baseball, as many things were.
So if you move the mound back, you're making 99 more hittable. Right?
That's the idea.
I mean, you're also changing a whole bunch of things. Pitchers would have to adjust. Their breaking balls would be falling in front of the plate for the first couple of years.
You'll have a different anchor point for it.
I don't think you'd be able to do it in major league in year one. What would have to happen is single A or double A or something. The feeder systems would have to do this first. And then eventually you'd say, okay, this is your, you know, if you're doing a new CBA right now, you'd go, in 2023, I'm just picking a year, but you know what I'm saying? Like, a couple of years from now, we're going to 61 feet, or we're going to 62 feet, or whatever it is.
Yeah, eliminating the shift, they could do on a dime. They could do at a moment's notice. And I know it goes against analytics. It goes against, but here's the thing. I keep coming back to it. I think it's just the game has developed to a point that is not the most entertaining.
Yeah, that's true.
And other sports adjust and change.
I just don't like the idea of limiting creativity. That's what it is. To nail it down on the shift idea. The managers found out, or organizations found out, and the shift isn't new, right? I mean, we were doing this
Ted Williams was shifted.
I know.
And I like the idea of being able to get risky, employ creativity, and utilize the defenders that are on the field.
But is there anything harder in all of sports to hit a round ball with a bat at 95, 96 and make contact? And now we're asking those guys to adjust, and instead of hitting it where you usually hit it, hit it 10 feet to the left. Okay,
guys,
good talk.
Guys have adjusted, though.
Just a couple.
Well, I mean, let's let that work for a little while. I mean, do we have the representative sample size of players coming up knowing they're going to get the shift?
Well, a lot of them just choose not to do it.
You alluded to it, though. The responses.
Because they just try to hit it over the top.
Yes. Do we know the answer is a lot of them, though?
Launch angle and contact point.
Yeah, launch angle and contact point. Everybody's just trying to hit it over the shift, so it doesn't matter anymore. And they're accepting their strikeouts when they don't hit it over the shift. Mm. And that and that combination has given us 25 minutes in a row without a ball in play.
It's not just the shift. It's the fact that there is that big green swath with just three guys standing there. What I think the natural move, part of the shift, is take your one of your middle infielders and move him to the outfield.
Put him in the outfield.
Just like football plays all kinds of defenses all over the field, mm-hmm. and coaches, you always talk about the dialectic between defenses and offenses and the evolution of these things becoming synthesized, and that's what's glorious about football. Oh, you're going to do this. Watch this. Let's figure some of this out. That's why we're limiting the creativity. Somebody's going to say, okay, here's your unintended consequence of playing this guy here and this guy here and this guy here and what I can do. And the hitter may have some control over it, mm-hmm. but organizationally, you may have more hitters who have spray charts. Like if you start drafting guys who have spray charts that just aren't as predictable, if you start developing players to swing in a certain way, it makes them difficult to shift for.
Well, and this is the idea of the three batter rule, is that you're getting theoretically you will start drafting and scouting pitchers who can get multiple kinds of guys out and stuff like that. And hitters who do have spray charts like that are my favorite. Look at Juan Soto's spray chart. It's a thing of beauty.
Hey, guys, Rick just texted me this. It's a tweet from YouTube TV. We were just talking about them and the Marquee Network. I figured this is probably part of the show a little bit.
Right, and if people might have heard Crane Kenny this morning hint strongly that YouTube TV was going away from this kind of relationship.
And that goes against what Sinclair CEO said yesterday on an earnings call. This is from YouTube TV. To bring you 70-plus channels, we have contracts with content owners that are periodically renegotiated. Sinclair Broadcast Group, owner of Fox Regional Sports Networks and Yes Network, is one of the largest owners of local TV stations in the U.S. We purchase rights from Sinclair to distribute content to you. Despite our best efforts, we have been unable to reach an agreement with Sinclair. As a result, we will no longer offer Fox Regional Sports Networks, including the Yes Network, beginning February 29th. Wow. Goes on to apologize to their viewerships and say why the changes have happened, why you might have noticed it. But I would assume all Sinclair means Marquee Network. So
I would
YouTube TV is not happening.
This is fascinating.
As an investor, I would wonder how else did he mislead in the earnings call? That's bad form.
Well, he said active negotiations.
Okay,
that's the quote I read.
Okay,
from
that might not be a lie.
I'm not out here stumping for CEOs. Okay,
nor Sinclair CEOs.
But you realize what Sinclair has
don't
been
put that
doing.
On me.
What Sinclair has been doing now for the past couple of years is investing heavily in regional sports networks, while other companies are running screaming from RSNs. Sinclair is the one buying them up. They obviously see some sort of market inefficiency, and maybe it has to do with owning as many of them as possible and getting as much of a monopoly on them as possible.
Okay. All right. But didn't Ice Cube have a group that was trying to buy them also? I thought he put together an ownership group that was competing for some RSNs.
I don't know.
He was part of a group, I think. I don't know if he was leading.
He was out front.
Was he?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So now, if Marquee is not going to be on YouTube TV, and YouTube TV is not going to have all of these sports networks, then you're going to start, you're carving out camps here, because mm-hmm. Dish Network is not going to have most sports, right? Dish Network has gone away from RSNs, and Dish Network is not going to have Marquee, right?
As far as I know, I
know Dish Network has been public about not having certain sports channels. So if you're a Dish person, you need DirecTV, not Dish. Like if you want your sports, if you want your Marquee, and if you're a cord cutter, it's getting fairly established here. You want Hulu Plus and not YouTube TV.
We'll see what
other cord cutting services get on board here. But you knew this kind of thing was going to happen somewhere with the Wild West of streaming.
It would tribalize a little bit.
That they would tribalize a little bit, and now you'll have the Cubs driving that divide, perhaps. A little bit, at least in this market.
Did you got to plant your flag on one side or the other, and then people just have to declare? It then gives, once you know who you have over a barrel, mm-hmm. is when you can set your rates.
You know, and once you've divided into those camps successfully, it makes you wonder just how long the cancel without a contract exists for these cord cutting platforms. Because right now, that's the benefit, is that I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna cancel mine, and it'll stop when it stops. And I can do that because there's no long-term contract.
There's no long-term contract.
Once you've said proprietary content lives only here on Blee.
Right.
Maybe it's a six-month contract. Maybe it's a year-long contract.
It's we're in the midst of a massive change in a business model.
You know who usually doesn't win that? The little guy.
Ah, the little guy. The little guy! All right, boys. Have fun. See ya. They are Bernstein and McKnight. Enjoy the poker tonight. Good stuff. Wish I could be there. I am Spiegs. I am in for Lawrence Holmes today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.